This week's episode of the Inside Running Podcast is proudly sponsored by ASICS. Refresh your run with the advanced stability and plush comfort of the new ASICS Gel Kiano 28. Experience the evolution of a legend with the shock-absorbent gel technology, a responsive FF Blast midsole foam, and a redesigned heel that protects your stride and clears your mind. Visit asics.com.au or your specialty running store to grab your pair. Episode number 194 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for tuning in for another week. Big show, a few overseas results. Well, thanks to Patreon supporters, listener questions, Moose on the Loose. Big things coming up. We're only a couple weeks out from the Olympics, so that's something to get excited for. So we're talking about all things running for the next 60 minutes with you. Thanks for giving us your ears. Welcome to my co-host down in Anglesey, back from the Cairns training camp, Julian Spence. Welcome.
Thanks, mate.
Well, you've gone up and back in the space of one show. We haven't even, you didn't talk to us at all up there. That's pretty efficient, traveling around the country.
I didn't talk to you at all.
Like on the show last week, you were still in Anglesey and you're being Cairns, come back. Yeah.
Mate, I fucking hate airplanes. And airplanes with a mask on is even worse. It's like, it's a first world problem. Absolutely. But I just do not like planes and I don't like wearing masks in planes.
You know what makes that even worse as well? Chucking a toddler on your lap.
I had toddlers next to me on the way up. One of them definitely had some sort of attention deficit disorder because it was just like hitting me and kicking me and wouldn't stay still.
I think they're all like that at that age though.
Oh, I know, this one had some learning difficulties.
Sure. Yeah, okay. So you caught a few knees and elbows?
Yeah, and just like, so there was one lady, no partner, and three kids, but one of them was real young, so she always had it in her hands. And then his other two, brother and sister, realized that the mum couldn't actually physically stop them. So it was just, they were just causing a ruckus up and down the aisles, like climbing over the seats. And I was just in the corner looking out the window going, oh shit, this is what
I'm going to be long 2.5 hours.
Well, this is me for 10, 15 years from now on as well.
Yeah, that's it. And my other co-host in Canberra, Bradley Croker, welcome to this week's episode.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, living the dream in warm, sunny Canberra.
I'm looking forward to talking to you boys tonight. It's a bit doom and gloom everywhere in Australia at the moment, so I was looking forward to just penciling some time with you fellas to talk about things that aren't COVID-19 related.
You're not wrong. It is a bit down. This one's hit different, this lockdown.
And it certainly has, hasn't it?
We're not even in lockdown and I'm still down about it.
Have you ever been in lockdown?
No, we had to wear masks for a week. That's about it. But, yeah, maybe it's just the fact that all the negativity comes through watching the TV every day, and even though you're not immediately impacted by it, it does still rub off on you.
It is north and south of you, though. Like, you're stuck in the middle. You're not going anywhere.
Mm. And it's more just like your future is uncertain in terms of you don't know whether you'll be able to, like, ever get away or – it's just hard to be optimistic, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like we just keep going, like, in this cycle, like, in the lockdown, out of lockdown, get some hope, we're back to normal. No, we're back to square one, we're back in a lockdown. There's not going to be no races for ages. What are you training for? Yeah, so many questions. And that's not even thinking about people that own businesses and have staff and all that kind of stuff. I could not imagine what it's like, Moose, to be a small business owner.
Yeah, it is really difficult. Really difficult. I mean, I don't know. It's the fifth time now that we've gone to lockdown, so we're sort of used to it, but at the same time, it doesn't get any easier. Financially, it's pretty tough. Our staff aren't getting any work right now. So that's hard to see people that who you almost feel your family not being able to work. And luckily they're all, well, no, they're not really all young. They're definitely not all young, but most of them are sort of younger kind of uni students, but there are some that rely on their wage and they can't get it right now. Everyone's suffering, so I'm not going to complain too much.
Yeah, I'm so glad the Olympics is next week, or the end of this week. Like, it's giving us one thing to look forward to. I cannot wait to watch these Australians light up the athletics track. People we know well, people have been talking about for years. It's given us something really to look forward to.
Are you sort of half expecting things to go to shit over there, though?
Oh,
just based on the way things have gone.
Well, when I saw that news article that there was a case in the Australian athletics camp yesterday, Moose, you might be able to tell us more about that. I started panicking then. I'm like, oh, hope it's not an athlete. Imagine if we didn't send anyone. They all had to stay home.
And this case is in the village over in Tokyo at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the village, I think it's pretty tight there. Like, I don't think it's like traditional village life.
Not if the Japanese are running it, especially during a pandemic. That'd be even better.
I'm wondering how it's occurred, because you have to submit tests prior to leaving, and then they must have caught it on the way.
Yeah, but there's also that incubation period as well. So, you could test negative even though you've got it, but then it doesn't show up for another 3 days.
That's what but it takes a day and a half to travel there nearly.
Mm.
So I saw it getting into the Tokyo airport today. One of the Canadian staff it was 7 hours of processing time in the airport. Imagine that on top of flying around the world. You fly in the airport, you're like, you beauty, I'm nearly home. I can nearly go to sleep or have a nap. 7 hours in the airport. I've been in customs lines for 2 to 3 hours, and that was nearly that was about my limit.
This is where I reckon this Olympics is going to suit the blue collar athlete, I reckon. The one that's used to having to basically just put up with a bit more adversity and, not having things so structured as the pure elite.
Yeah.
Like gravy croaks. I think we're going to see a lot of upsets. Like what you described last week, Moose, what they have to pretty much go through before they get to the start line is going to have a massive emotional drain on some athletes more than others. And some are just going to crumble.
I think so too. And it's been such a long build up that there will be people that will feel more and more pressure and anxiety because they've been thinking about it, not just for 1 week when you work out your time you're probably going to go. They've been thinking about it for 2 years. It's been that long since they kind of knew that they were a chance to.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot more anxiety, a lot more pressure, a lot more nights awake, not being able to sleep, thinking about it.
Yeah.
I can feel that.
Hey, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I'll get your boys' thoughts on it. They were talking about possibly that we're living in a simulation. And this is just something to kind of see how we go in like this kind of situation. You guys, up to that with that conspiracy theory and anything
like
on
the
it?
Matrix.
Yeah, kind of like this day. Some aliens are just invented this little Earth and it's just a little simulation to see what's going on. Just someone's little side project. And then chucked a pandemic in there, see how they cope. Thoughts? They could do it.
So a bit of Truman Show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Truman
Show. The solar system's that big, croaks. Do you know the solar system is that big that there's another Bradley Croker that looks exactly the same as you, has got the same name as you, lives in the same town as you, and is on a running podcast called Inside Running Podcast because it's that big, that chance of that happening is pretty strong.
He's a lucky bloke, isn't he?
It is. It's amazing, isn't it?
Same podcast, except it's called Inside Jogging Podcast.
No, there'd be one of those too. Thanks to our friends over at Inside Jogging Podcast for doing a UK version. Let's talk some running, eh? But yeah, what do you think? Do you think we are in a simulation? It'd be pretty cool.
I'm going to say no.
You don't think we are? Moose?
No, I don't think so.
Sometimes I reckon I catch like glitches in it. I just think this is a bloody glitch in the simulation here. Yeah, but anyway, we'll talk about some running.
What do you mean smoking, Brady?
No, nothing. I just think about these things when I run by myself out the bush, listening to podcasts, Joe Rogan podcast it was, they were talking about it. Anyway, who wants to go first? Moose, tell us about Cairns. What'd you do up there?
Well, I was coaching. That was the reason I was there, obviously, looking after Ali, who had two big workouts, so I wanted to be there for those. They were probably two of the biggest workouts in this block, and also two of the biggest that she's done ever. And yeah, I just was like, being there in Noosa for like all 7 weeks of the training, it was quite, I found it really valuable to be in physical proximity to the workout, to see what was happening, to be able to provide, I guess, a little bit more direction, to be able to help as best I can. So that's why I went up to Cairns for these two workouts, because they're pretty tough, and I wanted also to be able to help with the pre-cooling stuff and the nutrition work as well. So there's obviously some staff up here. So AA have like staff to help out, but there's also like Collis is the team manager for the marathoners. But he might at the same time have a workout with Sinead to admin or Brett. So I wanted to be there just in case that sort of situation arose. And so Monday I actually ran down in Anglesey. Where was I? Anglesey. It was 11K. It was a very good run. Currawong Falls I ran. That's in Aries. That's like single track. Fairly decent climb up to the top of this ridge and then a long downhill on the other side. It is one of the best loops you'll ever do, the Currawong Falls loop. Most people would know it. It's actually part of the Surf Coast Century, leg 3, but they do it in reverse. They do it like the wrong way. So I like to run it clockwise. That's the way I've always walked it. As I used to, like my family used to go for bushwalks out there, and we would do that when I was just a kid. And so it's pretty cool to come back and run it like 30 years later. It's same loop, the trail's in the same shape. Maybe they've added like one timber bridge to it only. There's a lot less water in the falls. there's basically no falls at all, but pretty cool loop. Tuesday I flew out, so I woke up and did a workout through the caravan park down here. So on the beach, we got it pretty quiet at the moment. Well, especially on Tuesday, it's like in winter, no school holidays anymore, I don't think. So it was quiet in the park, and there's a asphalt loop. Funnily enough, used to do our walkathon here in primary school. So the same loop I did the actual workout on. I did 7x2 minutes hard, 1 minute easy. And this like was just a real shock to the system to run fast again, like proper, well, for me it was at the time proper fast. So 2 minutes is long enough where you can really feel yourself getting lactic, but it's short enough where you can escape it just in time. So I was getting to a point where I couldn't probably do 30 seconds more on any of these reps, but I could take an easy jog for a minute and get back and go again. So I think most of them were like from 3:04 pace maybe to like 3:10, something around that maybe. And then the jogs were proper jogs. But you know, when you're fit, you can do workouts that are really difficult, but you don't really get in that much pain doing it. Well, when you're unfit, even the most simple workout is so much more difficult. You just have like this burn. It's like your diaphragm hasn't worked, and you get almost chest pain from your lungs expanding so much from sucking in the big ones, just is tough workout.
Yeah, you can see that in your heart rate too. Is that accurate heart rate? 170s?
Accurate.
I didn't realize you're on fit, Moose. I thought you're fit. That's what you've been telling us the last few weeks.
Yeah, you said last week, you're like, I only have lost as much as I thought I had.
I have lost as much and more than I thought I did.
So top 30 at AV cross country is not looking so good.
Moose is happy wearing lockdown, I reckon, Croaks. He would have been getting smoked this week. Top 50.
That is still a lock. Yeah, AV is better. I'm campaigning for a few more postponements. I might still have a good season. The season might run into like March or something.
November, you'll be right.
We'll be running Bundura like on Christmas morning. Yeah. But anyway, that was good to get a workout in.
You do make a good point though, that like workouts are different than jogging, like, and they really expose you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and the heart rate doesn't come down quick. When you're fit in those jog breaks, you can get it back under control, regroup and go again. But when you're unfit, it just like it goes from really hard to pretty hard. And there's not a lot of difference.
Yours wasn't dropping under 170 in the 1 minute.
And my threshold's like 171, I reckon. So that's an indication of that workout. So, but it would look, it's a great
somewhere.
It's a great feeling to get your first workout done. Like a great feeling because you feel like you're a runner again. So I flew to Cairns at Arvo, and then the next morning was the workout. Ali had a long workout in the heat in Cairns. So we did some pre-cooling trials, like some ice bath, ice fest, slushy work. And then we got into the workout, and it actually was... It was good that I was there because the workout didn't go as planned. It actually went south pretty quickly during the workout. Every workout we've done so far, every long run's been pretty much spot on as to what the plan was. And this is the first time that it didn't go as we expected it to or as we wanted it to. And it was just handy to be there to be able to make some changes to it on the spot, and just also to see how Ali responded and reacted and adapted to when things go poorly, because that's a big part of being a marathoner, I think, is being resilient when maybe you're not feeling as good as you thought you were, and having the capacity, like the mental capacity and the maturity to work out that you need to go through a few sort of strategies mentally and physically in order to overcome that when you've still got maybe an hour to go in a race. There's a lot of runners out there that don't convert their 10K and half marathons into good marathons. And I think it's because mentally you don't have to battle being in pain for a very long time. Like a half marathon, maybe the most you'll be in pain is 20 minutes. In a 10K, maybe it's only 5 or 10 minutes. But in a marathon, you've got to accept and embrace that you'll be in pain for a long time. And the only way to kind of get used to that or get your head around it is to practice it. And so this actually worked out quite well that she got a chance to practice a day that didn't go right for her.
So you kept her out there, you didn't pull it in?
We adjusted the workout, so we did less volume and the pace has obviously changed. But it was borderline because she was suffering some heat exhaustion symptoms. So there's a fine line between how far you push it, I think, and when it becomes dangerous. And I think we got the right balance because she hasn't suffered any ill effects since. But like she started to get goosebumps and it was really quite hot, and that's a sign of heat exhaustion. So at that point we knew we had to take a long break, and then we basically after that we ran the workout back to the hotel. But at the same time, we went to effort, so the paces were nowhere near what they were if she was feeling good.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was difficult to see someone struggle so much, like, in person. Like, yeah.
Well, what you're saying is, like, one hand, you want them to struggle so they know what it's like to struggle on race day and push through that mentally so you can, you know, experience it. And at the other side, it's like, well, don't go through it too much so they can cook you for a long period of time and you might not get to the start line. You're fit and healthy yourself. Like, it must be a hard thing to call.
How much physical...
Bloody lucky you're up there.
How much physical stress do you put someone through in order to get a mental benefit? There's no right answer to that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's going to be different for every individual.
Exactly. And if there's a coach there who says, oh, I know the line, then they're a fucking liar because there is no way you can tell. Mm. And a lot of this is hoping and guessing. Luckily, it worked out fine. She had a great workout yesterday, which showed that she's recovered from that workout. And, yeah, but it was a learning experience for everyone. I think it helped her respect the heat and what it can do to you, and it'll help her pace her race better in Sapporo. I think some of the other marathoners had a similar experience where they gained a bit of respect as well. So this is a good camp, I think, a good place to go. Yeah.
Better to do it 3 weeks out than on race day.
Absolutely. And this is a lesson, right? One of the things that I was saying was, how much do you learn from doing a workout that goes perfectly? Like, how much do you walk away learning about yourself and taking a lesson from the workout? You don't really take anything. You take a mental and you take some physical training, some physical stress, conditioning, adaption, whatever, and you take some confidence from it. But you don't really learn any lessons. It's sometimes you need these workouts to learn lessons. Like the team that goes through a full season without losing and then they get into a position in the finals where they're under stress and under pressure and everything crumbles because they've had no chance to adapt to that or face adversity during the season. So sometimes I think this is a good result for these workouts to go a little pear-shaped. And that's how we sort of walked away from it.
Like it.
But, yeah. That afternoon, though, I got a chance to really cook myself. So I went out for a run with, who was there? Collis, Brett, Sinead. And I started running with Collis. And then Brett and Sinead were at like 100 meters in front within 200 meters. I was like, oh, no, this is not going to be good. And then even Collis is much fitter than me. If you look at my heart rate, it is scarily high for the pace we were running.
154 average for 4:19 pace. Craig, have you seen this?
Yes, 160. Oh, you hit 170.
I hit 170 going 4:10 pace. Like, what is happening? This is not right.
Oh, it says 25 degrees, though.
Yeah, that's not... Feels like 26. Not that hot. Come on.
Well, it is when you're coming out of it. Oh, you've been up there, though, yeah.
I thought I was going all right until I got the...
And you hit 170 on the 14th K, which is 4:20.
Yeah, I got back. I was cooked. I was smoked. And I was like, oh, shit. But that was an eye-opener. Next day, just a couple of jogs. And the afternoon, funnily enough, was pretty good for my heart rate. 2 8Kers. Friday, I ran. This is actually a great strategy. If you're ever not that fit, you make the person that you're running with wear like 4 layers and get really hot, and their heart rate goes up heaps. So I ran 505s, and I think this was a 14K run. Ellie was warm, so she was wearing tights and a jacket, gloves. The sun was out this day, so it was extra hot. 505s, average 135 heart rate. That was actually perfect, the perfect pace for my run. And then on the Saturday, 16, nearly 17K, It got warm again. We ran down. Like, Cairns is really uninspiring place to run. Oh, look, there's just, for distance runners, unless you get in a car and drive out to something called, like, Black Mountain Road, I think it's called, it's, that's the only dirt trail in the area. But the Esplanade and the rail trails, all concrete, and the streets aren't brilliant, and even the Esplanade's filled with people. It's, yeah, it's a tough place to get in 3 weeks of training. Like, these guys are going to have to. But, yeah, we ran out the rail trail, concrete, exposed, sun, pretty hot. Did some strides on the way back, very hot. That was it for me that day. And then the next morning was the second workout for Ali, which I helped with. We needed to get to the track to do it, but there was a meet on, like a carnival. And so we had to get there at 6, warmed up. Track was locked after people telling us it would be open, so I was starting to freak out a bit. We did our warm-up, got back, and someone had opened a gate around the other side. So I lugged an Esky in. We kept it by the side of the track, and Ali ran 3 sets of 5 by 1K with 60 seconds rest between each rep and 500 meters jog between the sets.
Hey, and so I did 15 by 1K.
Yeah, 15 total, but
shit,
in broken up into lots of 5.
Yeah. Sounds better when you say 15. Don't say 3 lots of 5.
We took the extra rest because of the potential heat. And it was still warm. So before the sun came up, it was like 23 degrees. And then the sun sort of came up as we started the workout. It got a little hotter. But the wind came up, so it sort of cooled it. So it wasn't as bad. And we had ice bottles and an Esky full of ice next to the track, which we took at similar intervals as the race will have their ice aid station set up. So there's going to be quite a few of those with ice water and ice blocks to take. So it helps a lot, really. Like, putting cold water over your head, it's like a shot of adrenaline straight into you. And almost have to have trouble not running too fast immediately after you cool yourself down. But I did probably 10, no, maybe 9, 8 or 9 full reps. I'm not even going to count them because I think it's maybe it's 7, 7 to 8 full reps. And the rest I would run like 200 on, take 400 off and finish the 400 with Ali. So I was pacing her for the majority of the workout. We averaged 314. Second set we might have averaged 313, and the last set maybe 312. So it got progressively quicker. It was a very good workout, maybe one of the best that I've seen Ali do. And I thought it was great that she bounced back from what was a bit of a freak out session on the Wednesday. So it was good that she bounced back and the confidence is back leading into the taper now. So, but my week, like, I ran 109.85 Ks, and fuck, I am so happy about that. So I'm stoked. I feel like a runner again, actually.
Hit the ton, 2 workouts. See the street out the front of the athletics track's called Spence Street as well.
Oh, mate, I thought...
Named it after you.
This isn't an accident. They know my prowess on a track. They probably saw me run 14.19 in that race.
What are your 3 best track performances, Moose? Second at the Bendigo 5K Frenzy. That would have to be, wouldn't it, when you dipped Ben Kelly?
Well, I beat everybody except one guy.
Yeah. What else? What else is in there?
That's called coming second.
Didn't you come second at Steiger 1 year in the 10K? You beat me?
Beat you. I'll take that. And then what about that one where we did a time trial at Deakin where I...
That doesn't count.
Stacked up. mate, that's it.
What about that B-grade 5K Vic Chairs when you come fourth that year?
What about the Milers? The Milers B-grade, my first ever track race, came from miles back.
You know I was in this race.
The Milers B-grade.
Actually, I was in the state 5K champs 1 year. It was A grade. And I remember talking to Ryan Christensen. No, Ryan Christian, before the race, and I'd never heard of you before, and you come through and like smashed everyone that day too, I reckon. Well, you didn't win, but I reckon you ran 14:35 as like your first ever track race.
Hey, that's good memory by you.
I remember, this big, hairy, like overweight guy come flying past me with three laps to go. I'd gone out way too hard. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Yeah, Deacon uniform you're in.
Do you know, I was...
That would have been like 2007, I'm going to say, 2008. 2010, was it? Yeah, okay.
But I remember this. I had the same feeling when I was running Bundoora 2011. I was running around the top hill and this massive dude passed me on my left. I was like, who the fuck is this? Essendon uniform? I'm like, this must be some 800 runner that I'm going to catch later. Mark Blixarves.
Yep.
Yeah. And I thought that was pretty good.
Well, the very first Steigen, when it wasn't called Steigen, when we all stayed in the caravan park.
Yeah.
And everyone got hammered afterwards, like Liam Adams and Ryan Jackson and Mark Blixarves. He was there then. He was running. Mm. I reckon I ran with him the next day.
Yeah.
Maybe it was him. I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway.
Jeez, glory days. Anyway, some good track accomplishments there from you. Croaks, what have you been doing?
Well, pretty boring week compared to what Moose did.
Big recap for someone who ran 100Ks.
Oh, mate, do you want me to talk? I had a good experience out there. It was fun. You know, the track.
I might ask you a bit about it when we get to Lyndon Hall's news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll just give us a bit of a vibe what it's like up there. But Croaks takes back
I'll
to Canberra.
I'll whip through mine. Yeah, so Monday, just 11K in the afternoon, 4:14s. Tuesday, headed out to the track. There was a couple of different sessions going on, and I did a 15-minute tempo. So we went through 3K. Like, most of the guys were just doing a 3K tempo and then some 200s. And so the plan was to go through 3K in about 10 minutes. I think we ran like 9:55, and I just said to them, and most of them had sort of done a bit of a race the previous weekend, so I said, look, I'm just going to go a bit longer. So I did a 15-minute tempo, averaged like 3:14, so kicked it down a little bit over the last mile. Got just over 4.6K, and then jogged close to a lap in sort of 90 seconds. And then did 5x200 off a 200 jog. So the 200s were between 31 and 32, and jogging 200 in about 55 seconds. So, nothing special. Still having a few issues with just my hip and not feeling like I'm covering the ground that well, but certainly not injured and able to run.
Brad.
Yep.
Remember your listener question the other week?
What was that?
Your listener question.
Doing some 200s. I feel like doing 200s at the end of the session off a 200 jog means that they're not quite as aggressive.
Have you only started getting these niggles and stuff back, though, since you've been doing this speed stuff?
No.
Okay,
no.
That's all right.
I've been doing speed.
You do like some 200s at the end, don't you?
I've been doing some speed, like, pretty much all winter. So, yeah. Anyway, so then Wednesday did 20K. 4:11s, Thursday 4:14s for 11K, and then Friday morning, the Friday morning pro hour group, there's only two of us doing the session. It was a pretty shitty day. It was cold, wet and windy, and we did 8 90-second hills with like jog back, or sort of a float recovery, really. Like, you know, the hills were taking anywhere between sort of 90 and 95 and jogging back down in about 1:55. So certainly not slow jog recovery. I did eight 90-second hills. Then went to the gym actually that afternoon. An hour on Saturday. So it was actually snowing here on Saturday. And
could you make like snowmen and stuff?
I couldn't make a snowman, but like it was like ice was like you could see it was snowing, or you know, where it was like you go outside and you get ice on you, sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
So I ended up just going to the gym, just jumping on the treadmill for an hour. So I averaged like 4:27s for an hour, and then did 30, just over 30K, 30.14K yesterday at 4:09s for a week of 120K. Nothing special, just a couple of sessions. Body's ordinary, and Well, it's no, it's like it's just that shit that comes and goes that I have to just put up with. And yeah, sort of got kids are sick again.
Yeah,
kids are sick again.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, Lily's probably not going to go. Well. Lily's not going to go daycare, I don't think, tomorrow. So yeah, because I got through yesterday and I got home. I'm like, I'm absolutely like, I don't feel very good at all. And then yeah, been felt pretty shit again today. So. Yeah, joy, winter. Hey, winter in Canberra.
Yeah. When I saw your treadmill run, I'm like, it must be pretty bad for you to go on the treadmill. I know you don't mind it, but yeah, it was shocking here Saturday, so I can only imagine what it was like there.
Yeah, and I'm just, I don't know, like as I'm getting older, I'm definitely getting softer. Like the amount of times I've run in shit weather in the last 20 plus years, and now I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to have one run where I just stay dry, especially if I'm not feeling 100% better than going out in that shit.
Especially when you don't have a race like to train for, you know, like that motivation of having like a race that gets you out there in that weather.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So it was good to just mix it up anyway. I don't mind the odd treadmill run.
Yeah.
What do you watch? What do you put on?
Nothing. I just listen to music.
Bit of Taylor Swift, Johnny Cash.
Yeah, just whatever. Yeah, a bit of Johnny Cash, yeah.
Kanye's got a new album coming out this weekend, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Pretty sure.
Who?
Yeezy.
Who? Oh, my goodness.
Yeezy's got a new album coming out.
Yeezy? Or Kanye?
That's what they call him, Yeezy.
All right, tell us about your week.
50 minutes, Monday, pretty banged up after wearing the spikes for 12K cross country on the Saturday. So Monday was just 50 minutes at 4:37 in the morning, 7K at 4:29 after work. School was back last week, so it was, first week of term three, which my job, it's kind of interesting because my role this year is I catch up the kids who didn't have 12 months growth last year because they missed so much school throughout COVID. So I got a whole new bunch of kids to work with for this term. We did it in term one and two as well. 84% success rate as well, fellas. You'd be pretty happy with that. All the kids are moving. But then we only got 2 days with them last week before we went into remote learning, which makes it a bit hard. So I'm getting paid to catch up the kids who missed school due to COVID, who are now missing school due to COVID. So a bit of a, random week. I feel for some of these kids at schools, especially the kids in grade one, like cause they had prep last year, missed a huge chunk of it, and now they're missing school in grade one.
I was actually saying that to Viv last night, that I feel lucky that our kids are that young.
Yeah. Yeah.
That like they're not really missing out on anything at this stage, whereas, you know, once kids start school, pretty much from the age that they're, six through to 18, I feel really sorry for that bracket of kids and also their parents just missing out on, there's going to be gaps in their learning and even just socializing and spending time with friends and, so.
Even a lady Carly works with, her kid missed his first birthday in lockdown. Not that he knows what's going on for his first birthday, but it's pretty important for the family. And then second birthday, back in lockdown. And you're just like, what a poor kid. He hasn't had a birthday party yet. He's got to wait till he's three. Anyway, then I did 60 minutes Tuesday, 4:24 pace, 7.5K in strides. Tuesday afternoon, then Wednesday I did 6K in the morning before working from home the whole day. So I write programs and stuff on the Wednesday, do the podcast stuff. Road to Nowhere comes out Wednesday, and this show goes out publicly Wednesday. So it's a big work from home day for me. Then I met up with Nathan Stoat in Cobram. Oh, so my whole week was based around me doing this cross country race in Melbourne on the Saturday, which ended up getting cancelled, but I didn't know it at this stage. We did our first little like marathon workout, and this was meant to replace our long run as well because I didn't want to do a long run on the Sunday after the cross-country race on the Saturday. So we did 12K, kind of like moderate pace, like we averaged 3:54 pace and then changed shoes. Then we did 2x4K at like 3:17, 3:18 pace off 2 minutes jog, and then 2x3K at like 3:16, 3:18 pace off 2 minutes jog. And then it was 2.5K cooldown, and that got us 30K. Wasn't that, like, looked kind of easier than it was. I didn't think I'd have many troubles with this workout because, like, it's, 14K at probably 3:18 average pace. Not really that hot, but I just didn't think I ate enough during the day. And I reckon I was a bit sick as well, Croaks, a bit of that daycare sickness coming through. Because I just remember the whole day I was like cold. Like I had the heater on like 26 degrees, couldn't warm up. I remember having a shower before, like, I went out and met Nathan for this workout just to kind of warm myself up. And then when you look at my heart rate data for the efforts that I was on, there's no way my heart rate should be that high running pretty close to 320 pace. So I reckon I was a bit sick. I reckon I didn't eat enough food during the day because we met at like 2:30, which was a bit of a weird time to start this workout. I didn't have lunch because I didn't want to have lunch sitting in my guts. And then I didn't take any gels. And then by like this 2.5K cool down at the end, like I was bonking. Like it was, yeah, hard work. My heart rate was pretty high. I was like pretty much swearing in my head, like, why the hell am I doing another marathon? I don't want to do this stuff again. So a few lessons learned there to definitely make sure I've got enough calories, which is going to come up in our listener question later on. And yeah, maybe, you know, if you are feeling a bit off, don't kind of do workouts like this. So, yeah.
Interesting.
And I also think I underestimated that 12K at the start because I was maybe, what I should have done, I should have said, hey, is this your marathon workout or is this your long run? Maybe this far out from the marathon, don't put them both together because you might get a bit undone, which I did. Nathan dominated. He was bloody easy, just skipping away. But yeah, I felt, and even if you look at my heart rate data, like I was averaging close to 170 beats per minute for like 318, 317 pace, which I'll talk about my workout on Saturday in a minute. It's pretty much, you know, I was running 303 pace and averaging the same heart rate for 6 minute reps. So yeah, a bit to learn there, a bit to assess. And now, like, I don't know where my running's at now because it's like, I don't know if Melbourne's going to happen. I don't know if I want to commit to doing. I watched all those Gold Coast people do their massive blocks and then miss the opportunity to race. And I'm just like, I don't know if I want to commit to doing big workouts like this every Wednesday and Sunday.
I feel anyway, that.
You feel
I
that?
I probably wouldn't if I was you.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, and it's not like I don't enjoy running fives and tens and halves and stuff anyway. Like, I actually probably enjoy that more because I'm better at it than running marathons. So I'd be happy to miss a marathon and just keep the case down a bit. And because this stuff's risky for injury as well. We all know that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe just do one every other week or so.
That, like fortnight or like 20 days or something like that, just to keep one there.
And then you can just load up quickly if you have, if it's looking likely or like, I mean, that sounds stupid saying looking likely because Gold Coast was looking like 100% yeah. 1 week out and then it just got taken from under us. But yeah, I know if
you feel it,
I don't think it's bad for you to do that anyway, even for 5-10K stuff. I don't think it'll hurt that too much. Or even cross country,
if
that's what's going to come back later on, if everything gets postponed. But yeah, I know, like, I've had so many athletes do that, and it's just like, oh, it just debilitates, and like they're just not interested.
And I originally did it for Rotterdam. Remember when you helped me like prep for that? Like, I've been there and done that. I don't want to do it again. So Thursday was a full recovery day. Just did 10K at 4:32 pace after having Hudson for the day, and then Friday. Got out for, we had a lot of rain, so just did 16K on what I call like a wet loop, just like sealed roads the whole time, just can't go on the bush trails, average 4:25s, and then 7K in the rain after work on Friday. This was our first day of remote learning, so we're all in at school, but there's only like 25 kids, just the kids whose parents couldn't be at home. And then Saturday, Archie and I met up. We did 4x6 minutes at probably 3:05 pace average. Shocking day. Like, we met at 8:30 and it was still cold and wet and windy. Feels like 2 at set on Strava, 25K wins. I just didn't want to be there. Like, Hudson was at home playing with Lego under the heater and I was just like getting in my car to go do this workout. And I just so wanted to stay with him. My motivation was so low, but lucky I was meeting Archie because it gave me a reason to get in the car. And it wasn't that bad, the workout.
The other son he'd love too.
The other son, yes. I went playing with Lego with one to playing some threshy work with the other. So, but we hit the numbers on this one. It was good. We kind of did it like 6 minutes down a straight road and then 6 minutes back up. So one of them, we had a beautiful tailwind. It was, so much fun. It's like, I love running with tailwinds. Like, my heart rate was like 160, I think, and kind of running 3 minute K pace. It just felt super easy. And then it was a bit harder going back the other way. I thought we might have dropped a bit more pace than we actually did coming back into the wind, but it was okay. And we got it done and then we're happy. And yeah, I'm glad we got out and did it because it made the rest of the weekend all good. 7K in the afternoon at 4:35 pace. And then Sunday, we just did a big lap of Moama. We did 30K, Arch and I. We averaged 4:10s. And that's another thing, like when these lockdowns happen, like our small group of four just gets ripped apart because we can't train with Nathan and Glenn because they're on the Victorian side. So yeah, we did 30K. I think we turned maybe six times in the 30K, just massive long straight roads. But that was good, 165K for the week. And we'll just, yeah, I think I'll dial things back maybe 130, 140 just to maintain and then jump in stuff when it comes up. But yeah, it's not the, you know, probably traditional 13, 14 week marathon block I thought I'd be entering into. But that's okay. There's bigger 14 problems.
14-week marathon block. That's a fucking long time.
Is it 14 weeks from Melbourne? Something like that. 13 weeks, wasn't it?
That's a long
like,
time.
I think it's like 12.
12, is it?
Yeah.
From last Sunday.
Last Sunday, yeah.
Well, yesterday. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm sure there's a lot of people who can relate to all those comments, and we're feeling you. But anyway,
yeah,
we'll keep chipping away. And running's good in these times when there's uncertainty and you're not sure what's going on. Geez, you feel good after a run. It's
yeah, agree.
Sorry, uplifting.
What do they call it? I've got to come up for some sort of doctor name for it. But it's
endorphins.
Yeah, endorphins, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about it's similar to the blue doctor, you know.
Oh, like runners high, good for you mean? You.
Yeah, runners high. That's what it is. It's endorphins, right? That's what it is. It's like a drug.
Yeah.
But no, it's got to be a better name for it than that.
Mm. Yeah, it does. Let's thank some legendary Patreon supporters, eh, fellas? Croaks, kick us off.
All right, I'm heading to Norway. My shout-out is to Sher Milledal, and has PBs of 18:59 for 5K, 38:28 for 10, 89 for the half, and 3:19 for the marathon, which he did on the 4th of July, and I believe that was his first one. Also does a bit of bike riding, and on his Strava bio, he has written, converting O2 to moderate pace since 2012. So nice one, and thanks for your support.
What does that mean?
What do you think that means, Croaks?
Converting oxygen? Oxygen? No.
Yeah, converting oxygen to a moderate pace.
He likes a steady run, you reckon?
I don't know what that means.
Since 2012.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if he's anything like Christian, he says some weird shit in English.
Christian's all right. He's pretty good on it.
No, he says some stuff that just makes me laugh, though. Yeah. Like real weird stuff, like real weird comments. Maybe.
I think what it means is he basically started running in 2012, and at that point he then started converting, like, you know, obviously you need oxygen to run.
Oh, like a fuel. Converting
it to moderate pace. Yeah. So,
clever. Hmm. Clever by...
They're pretty smart over there in Norway. Pretty smart. I've got a friend with the last name Dahl as well, Hamish Dahl, Bendigo guy. Wonder if he knows him. Anyway,
this is Millie Dahl.
Oh, that, maybe that's his middle name though.
No.
Oh, let's surname together. Millie Dahl. Oh, did you put that space in there so you knew how to pronounce it?
Yep.
Yeah, good work. That's good from you breaking up your syllables. I like it. Moose, who are you thinking?
I'm going to think Denby Weller. Denby has run. It's female Denby. I know a male called Denby.
It's an interesting name, Denby, isn't it? Like, thinking about kids' names, pretty unique, Moose. Not many Denbys getting around.
No, but
put it on the list.
Yeah. Put it on the list. Gee, the funniest joke I kept making it over the last week was if someone named us, if we had any kid names thought out, every time. Yep, call us. it is the joke that will never stop being funny when Collis is around. 5K, Denby's run, 23:51, 50:11, 151 half, maybe half, maybe 800 metres, 4:16 marathon or maybe 1,500 metres.
You know, and I put him in the order of the race distance. You know, I want to put a 1,500 in there.
We don't know that. Denby might be a real...
Well, like, look at the next time and how I've helped you out here.
Switch athlete. She's also run 7 hours 57 for 50K. So she's got wide range. 151, 800, 8 hours 50K. Denby is a multimedia journalist, filmmaker and lecturer at University of
Technology.
Technology. Okay. UTS.
They got an athletics club, don't they, Croaks? UTS?
Yeah. They do.
I've heard of that university. She's also the head honcho at Digital Vagabond. From 2014 to 17, she was a video journalist at the Sydney Morning Herald, where she spearheaded a joint venture producing explainer videos with University of New South Wales and Sydney University. She has her own IMDb page.
Yeah, she's been in movies and stuff as well. Demby is famous.
An actress?
Yeah, yep. She's a producer and she acts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. Thank you, Demby, for your support. I'm going to thank August Stephenson. You'd be familiar with that last name, fellas, wouldn't you? The same spelling as John Stephenson, our famous 400-meter runner.
Is it?
Yep. He's from Bodø, over in Norway as well, Croaks. Going back to Norway. Strava bio, you'd like this, Moose. I just want to drink beer and train like an animal, from Rod Dixon. That quote, one of your favourites. Is fast as well, August. 10:17 for 3K, 32:20 for 10K, 1:18 for the half marathon, and 2:46 for the marathon. That was at the Frankfurt Marathon, that one. So a good course over there. Probably going to give it to his 10K, wouldn't you say, boys? 34:20, best one on the list there.
Yeah, it is. Oh, no, I reckon 2:46 works out pretty well. No, maybe not, actually. That's about 4-minute Ks.
I think 10K.
You're right, 10K. 10K.
Well, under. 10K. Thanks to all the legends over on Patreon. Keep the support keep the show alive every week with their support. Road to Nowhere, Wednesday mornings, early releases, all those kind of things. If you want to help us keep the lights on at the Inside Running Podcast, you can support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, boys. That's the minimum pledge over there. $5. Think about all the things you spend $5 on. You can keep the show alive, contribute, and get your name set out on the Inside Running Podcast.
Hey, Moose, your mate Dixon, he turned 71 last week.
Damn.
Did you wish him happy birthday?
Nah, missed it. Rod, the man with the teeth, got some good teeth on him.
Still cracks me up, that interview where he just refers to himself as Dixon.
the best bit that I didn't say, I haven't told anybody.
I think I've heard this. I think I
maybe I told you this.
Yeah, I think you did.
Was when it went a bit longer than we planned for. And at the end, we said, oh, yeah, see you, Rod. Yep, thanks for your time and all this. And he put his headphones down, but he forgot to end the call. And he got up and I could hear him and go, oh, fucking hell. Like it was the longest 2 hours of his life.
did he then lip you off?
No, Moose hung up before I could hear anymore.
By that stage, I was like, oh, I gotta leave. that was gold.
Yeah. So Dixon's got to go now, Moose. See you later.
yeah, you did tell me that. I'd heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. All right, runner news. Let's go Gateshead Diamond League first, Moose. Stewie nearly did it again.
Yep, so he ran just off the Australian record, correct?
Yeah, just missed it. His own Australian record.
Yeah, 7:28.94 he ran. He finished second behind Mohamed Katir from Spain. That's the one who just changed his diet, apparently. And this Katir, he came to the front only towards the end of the race. So, like, I think he went around Stewie maybe with 300 to go, and then Stewie, like, he did well to hang on. Katia helped Stewie that last lap, I reckon, get to a fast time. But yeah, he's got a kick on him, this bloke.
Stewie injected the pace though. When was there a pacemaker? Yeah. I can't actually remember. It was last Tuesday, wasn't it? But when Stewie went at the front, like, it just became a 2-man race pretty quick.
Yep, he did. And Stewie, obviously, he's going to be known in the circles now as the bloke who makes the pace. Like, he always wants to, he always gets to the front, he always chomps at the bit, just trying to get it. And he doesn't want to sit. I can't remember him sitting back and kicking in any race in the last, well, since he's been in Europe. Can you remember that?
Oh, there's been a couple of 15s that have been taken out quick and he's been off the back a bit, but not because he's intentionally tactically doing that, like, you know, with Chariot at Monaco.
Yeah, that's different, isn't
it?
Yeah,
that's different.
Yeah. To, like, him getting on the front and slowing it down.
He's led every race he can win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what about Katia's progression? He's gone from, these are his last couple of years, his 1500, 340, 337, 336, 328. And then his last couple of years over 3K, 831, 756, 744, 727. And then look, he went from 1350 to 1250 over 5K. And his 10K, 2951 to 2858 in 2020. And he'd expect him to destroy that 2858 now. And that was only last year. So, yeah.
So he's changed his diet. 2951 to 1250.
He's running the five, is that right?
Don't know.
At the Olympics? I heard maybe running the five.
The lists are out. We should know that. Brady.
I'm trying to find it.
Brady's. Brad, don't do that.
I'll find it. You keep talking, folks. Go read through some results. The start lists are out, you reckon, Moose?
Yeah, or the entry, like the nominations are I'm pretty sure the field lists are set, but maybe there's a couple more in there that, like, where a country's entered four, not three.
All right, you guys keep talking, because Matthew Ramsden had a good one there as well.
Yeah, he did. He moved to fourth all time on the Australian list, which is pretty freaking cool. Like 735, 65, although he wasn't in the medals here or whatever. 735 takes him in front of a lot of fast athletes. So now he's sitting there behind. I'm going to let you roll them off for me, Brad.
So there'll be Stewie, Mottram, and is it Tiernan?
I'm going to say Tiernan. Yep.
Oh, Collis. You'll even Collis out.
Collis. No, because, so who's Bart?
Named
Collis,
a kid after him, and you don't even put him in the top four.
Yeah, that's shit.
No, he's fourth. So is Collis faster than Tiernan?
Don't know. Yeah, I don't think so.
Where do you reckon these start lists are? Because they're not on this website. Like, it's got a timetable, but there's no start list yet.
Yeah, up somewhere.
Keep looking.
Anyway, he's come out and he's performed really well. He's made himself name for himself in Europe. He ran 334.08 earlier in the month, and now he's run 735. So actually, he's probably the best athlete getting around that's not in the Olympics, to be honest. Like, running these times.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point.
Yeah. Oh, I've got some points for that a bit later on.
Hey, Brady, so I reckon I've just gone on to that road.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to go now.
Yeah, and so what you'll notice is he is in the 5K.
But not the 15. This is Katia we're talking about.
Yeah, but he's not in bold for Spain's top three in the 1500, which would make you think that he's not competing in that.
Yeah, that's good from you. I like that. So just the five. So Stewie won't have to go him.
Yeah, because if you actually go to the bottom of the list for the men's 1500, he's actually down there.
As withdrawn.
Yeah. Yeah. So he'll run the 5K. So he won't be up against Stewie in the 15.
Instead, he'll be up against Morgan McDonald, Dave McNeil, and Pat Tiernan.
Yep.
Anyway, we finished there, boys. Gateshead. Any other news there with the 3K? You talked about Dave McNeil, Moose.
Oh, he didn't have a good one. 7:49.32 for Dave. He's very hot and cold, isn't he?
He's either
right up there running like out of his mind, or he's jogging it in.
Mind you, at the start of the season, like 7:49 wouldn't have been bad for him, because remember he came out down at Box Hill and ran 7:46 for a pretty big PB, something like that. So, you know, 7:49 before this season would have been a pass mark, I suppose, for him. Yeah. Whereas now it's disappointing for him. So Peter Boll had a good result at the Diamond League. He finished third, running 1:45.22, and ran over the top of the likes of Clayton Murphy and Bryce Hoppel from the US, who were both considered medal contenders in Tokyo. I thought he paced his really well. He sort of midfield for a lot of the race, and then picked off a lot of people down the home straight. So it was a good result from Pete. And Jeff Reiser was in the same race. Didn't have a great day. He ran 150.05 to finish 10th. I did see he put something up on Instagram saying that it might have been due to the vaccination that he had like the day before. Might have knocked him around a little bit. At the same meet, Rory Hunter, he ran the mile, Emsley Car Mile. He ran 357.39, which was a new PB, and finished 9th out of 14. So with all 14 men running under 4 minutes for the mile.
That's pretty cool. And then did you see Izzybat Doyle ran a 15.16, Moose?
Saw that, yep.
So, Rose Davies in the same race.
Yeah, Izzy got the W. This was at the Motone GP in Lapinlahti. Is that in Finland?
Yeah.
Lapinlahti. Taking down Jen Gregson's meet record of 15.21. So Rose finished second in 15.32. So Izzy's kind of dismantled that field.
Big win, isn't it? Yeah.
Won by 16 seconds. Yeah, that's a huge win.
For a 5K race.
Yeah.
While we're overseas, we'll go to 1500. This was the Under Armour Sunset Tour in California. Jessica Hull ran second there. She ran 4.7. So,
who beat her?
Watched it today. Robbie Andrews's girlfriend, who runs for Reebok. I probably should have got her name. You know the girl I'm talking about? She ran like an 8 or 9 second PB. I think she'd only just been under 4:10, and she ran 3:59.
Shit.
So is that a PB for Jess? Because we're talking very close to Australian record here.
No, it's the third fastest ever, though, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So, because Linden's didn't count.
Her one so, up at Cairns, yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Linden yesterday, I believe it was, ran 4 minute flat at Cairns in the track later in the day after Ali had finished her workout. So I knew how hot that was, and the wind had come up. So running 4 minutes flat, which I mean, it wasn't an official race or whatever, but she had a male pacer. Which was someone that she's like a young fella who she's brought up to help her with her training. And just the vibe around this run was quite incredible around the hotel, just with all the other athletes. You've basically got like the best athletes in the country. Some of them are the best athletes in the world. And they were just pretty blown away by this performance of Linden running 4 flat. It was just incredible. It sort of knocked the socks off a few people, I reckon, based on like doing it at a track at like it was a carnival meet, so it wasn't a big meet, and it was just with one pacer who I reckon Linden's actually taller than this bloke. So yeah, it was pretty incredible. She's in some form.
The thing that's incredible, like when she broke 4, she was kind of solo from a long way out then as well. Like she hasn't, she's going to, once she gets into some competitive races, I don't wonder if she's going to go to Europe or the States after Tokyo.
Yeah, what's left on the program? I'm not sure. I've got no idea.
Isn't the pre-classic still on there? Because they're going to let the sprinter
test. I asked her on that Sunday afternoon where we had that live show, I asked her whether she would continue, and she said, we're making decisions like now about it.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing she would have. Will have made a decision by now, but
she usually
wasn't
runs
confirmed.
Pre-classic, like a big Nike event. She's a big Nike athlete.
Yeah,
she runs super fast there. Jess Hull is 4.4, and she ran 4.7. And I think didn't she come straight back
Norris.
Down off the. Oh, who was it?
Gisette Norris.
Is she dating Robbie Andrews?
I don't know. She runs for the Reebok Boston Track Club.
She's able at that, right?
But she won the race. Yeah.
Yeah. Tasmania, they are their cross-country champs down there. Dejan Gebrselassie, the king of Tassie's back. He won easy. He won by 22 seconds over Samuel Clifford. They did 10K, so 31.42, 32.04. Dave Thomas, my mate of all the tattoos, best way of getting around Australian distance runner, running 32.31. Miriam Dowie got the win in the females, 37.09. Ebony Webb, 39.23. And Amy Smee. Born in 1972, this is Ruby Smee's mum. They talk about her on Road to Nowhere pretty much every week. She ran 40.10, so good to see Tassie cross-country races going. Don't know about this, though. Like, looking at photos of the event, they're all wearing Next Percents. Like, can't be real cross country if you're in the super shoes, can it?
Well, a course wouldn't, like a proper cross country course, those shoes wouldn't stand up.
Exactly. Yeah, I think they run around bypass or something down there near the domain. Oh. Pretty soft. But yeah, the times are pretty slow though. It must be pretty hilly. Like 31. Like Sam.
Where are they at? Sam Clifford. In Hobart.
Yeah, Sam Clifford ran 29:30 at Lawnie.
So, yeah, look, I think they run from up near the athletics track down towards the swimming pool and then, like, do laps of that. So there is a decent hill there that they have to run up multiple times.
Yeah.
But cross-country isn't hills. Cross-country is, like, surface. What's under your feet. Yeah, surface. That's what I would think.
Last bit of news, Croaks, there was a race in Australia, not in Tassie, in Queensland.
Yeah, the Jetty to Jetty. So in the half marathon, Liam Bowden won in 65.03, beat Kieran Tall, who must be spending a bit of time up there. He ran 65.48. Jackie Swindale won the women's in 87.35, beating Catherine Parkinson, who ran 87.45. So there's only 10 seconds between those two. The 10K was taken out by Jack Bruce, 29.52. Olga Fasova won the women's in 34 flat. Amber Johnson was second in 34.10.
The Gel KNO 28 running shoe creates a stable stride that moves you toward the balanced mindset. Featuring a low profile external heel counter, this piece cradles your foot with improved fit and rear foot support. To improve stability and responsiveness, ASICS have added lightweight FF Blast cushioning to the midsole that delivers an energetic, smooth and supportive ride with each step. And the dynamic Duomax provides stability for runners who pronate. The new gel technology shape attenuates shock during impact and allows for a smooth transition through your stride without losing speed. And a lightweight engineered mesh upper creates a unique balance of comfort, breathability, and fit. Visit www.asics.com.au or your nearest specialty running store.
Beauty, listener question, Bradley.
Okay, it comes in from Dougal Burrows. How does your preparation for a race differ depending on when the race is happening, i.e. morning versus evening?
Good question. Anyone want to go first?
I thought you had something you wanted to say about
this, Brady. Well, morning races, I quite enjoy. Like, we do a majority of our workouts in the morning. Majority of, like, half marathons, marathons, 10Ks on the road, especially in the morning. So I've got a pretty good routine when it comes to, like, my preparation with what I eat around, like, my toast, my jam or peanut butter on my toast, my morning coffee, my toilet routine. Kind of doing the warm-up. Like, it's nothing new, and I nail it pretty much every time. Like, you're doing that three or two times a week, and no real issues. But where my issues come is when it starts becoming that, like, when we had cross-country the other week, that was a 2:30 start. When I did that session I was just talking about before, that was a 2:30 start. And I never want to have too much in my stomach, and sometimes I fall into this trap of, like, under-fueling and under-eating, because I just can't get it right, because I find it's a really hard time to get some food in and what to get in when you've got that kind of mid-afternoon and evening races. I'm trying to think when I did like Zatopek and stuff, like that's usually an 8 o'clock or an 8:30 kind of race, and that's kind of hard as well. And I just tend to, with those later ones, snack away, not have real meals, snack away. To just get some calories in that way without filling my guts too much. But in terms of preparation around warm-up and stuff, it's all, like, I always do the same warm-up, same cool-downs. I do take caffeine in a tablet for night races, not like a black coffee like I'll have before workouts or morning races. That's one thing I change. But, yeah, the food ones, the big difference for me preparation-wise for a nighttime or afternoon race. You guys got any, give me some tips. What do you guys do?
For an evening race?
Well, I reckon it's more afternoon. Evening I'm okay with, because at least evening you can still have lunch. Like, you can still eat at like 12, 1.
Races in the afternoon? Oh, you mean like 2 p.m.?
Yeah, these AV ones, okay. Or like an afternoon workout you might do after work, like a 3:30, yep. 4 o'clock, kind of school teacher kind of ones. Yeah,
well, let's say the race is at 2:30, because I think Pandura was supposed to be about 2:30 or so. So 2:30, your gut should clear I reckon 3 to 4 hours. So let's just say 3 to 4 hours, you want to be eating your biggest meal, not closer than that. So 3 hours, 11, 30, 11. So I reckon you wake up. I like to have a shakeout run. Yeah. So it's part of my routine. So just like...
Oh, that's good to add. Yeah.
Yeah. 3K, just to... What it does for me is it just gets the body warmed up. I wake up. It's the similar routine to the rest of the week, except the run might only go for 15 minutes.
We had breakfast before that, Moose.
No, I have breakfast after
fully fasted that one.
Yeah, so I just get up. I'll have like a coffee before it, come back, have my proper big breakfast and coffee again, and then I'll just start to let the gut clear, and I'll just continue to keep the blood sugar up with easily digestible carbs. Like for some people that might be banana, lollies, sports drink, energy bars, gels. Just something that will allow the gut to clear, but you'll still get carbohydrates in. And that's like, you don't want to be running on a full gut, but you also don't want to be running in a state of depletion or hungry.
And what's your coffee of choice, Moose?
I love the one from, what have we been drinking lately?
Sonali.
Jeez, I hate to say Sonali.
Look, I know Sonali. I was just wondering which one in particular. Was it Wide Awake?
Wide Awake.
Sonali, Wide Awake.
Oh, I've got the white one, the orthodox one.
Mate, I've been going, I've had coffee, like Queensland does not know what good coffee is.
Did you take your own up there this time?
Oh, I should have. I got back today, made a coffee on myself, a Sonali coffee, and I was like, this is it right here. I can do better than all of Queensland cafes combined. How am I so good at this? And I think it's the coffee that they use. St. Ali got to start sending some shit up to Queensland, I reckon. I'll have a flat white or whatever, and that's it. And then as I get closer to the race, I might have a caffeine tablet.
Anything else to add there, Krogs, that you do differently?
So for morning races, I definitely need to get up, like probably for me 3 hours before the race. I like to have a shower before a race. I actually like to have a shower even if it's a night race as well. I feel like it just loosens off my body a little bit. In terms of eating, so like if it was an afternoon race, I would have breakfast as normal. I might have a little bit of morning tea, and then I'd probably have some toast a couple of hours before. So like I don't have an issue eating 2 hours before the race, so I find that would give me enough in my stomach so that I wouldn't feel hungry, you know, for the race. But, you know, but it's not heavy enough that it's going to sit. And same with a night race. I'll still have something to eat a couple of hours beforehand, just some toast and stuff like that. But warm-ups and cool-downs are pretty much the same. So that's pretty much it. But, yeah, eating-wise, it's just like I eat pretty much the same, but I just – if I just eat something 2 hours before –
Yeah. Good one. Good question, Dougal. Moose on the loose for this week.
So this one, this one's been just come on lately, actually. So not something I've really had to worry about before, and still don't. I actually don't have to worry about anything. But this thing called Rule 40. So have you guys seen anything about this in regards to the Olympics?
See it pop up every like 4 years, but is it, you'll tell us what it is, but is it that the Olympic athletes are not allowed to thank their sponsors inside a certain window around the Olympics and at the Olympics?
Well, that's what it used to be. Like there was a couple of Olympics ago, it was a lot more strict, and there was to be no advertising using athletes who were in the Olympics by any of their sponsors, and the athlete was not allowed to promote their sponsor during the Olympics. It's got a little bit more flexible lately.
And is that because the Olympics have their own sponsors?
That's right.
Yeah,
so
that they sell to.
An Olympic sponsor will come along and say, no, we own these athletes now, basically, during the blackout period. So it's like July 13 to August 10. So they're in the blackout period now. So they've become more flexible, and so the Australian Olympic Committee now allow an athlete to to thank their sponsor. However, it can't be associated with the Olympics and it can't be an image from the Olympics. So the direction at the moment is you can do one simple thank you message to your non-Olympic partner. This is like, say, in social media. You cannot tag or thank your personal non-Olympic partners in any materials that contain Olympic material or property. You may post images to your social media as long as they do not reference your sponsor or your partner. If someone takes a photo of you running in the Olympics, you can't tag your sponsor who provides your entire lifeline of salary and support for this blackout period.
This is absolute bullshit. Like, how can they control people, what they do on their own social networks and stuff?
Well, they sign a contract.
But
when
it's not like they're paid. Like, none of our Olympians get paid by the IOC.
No, but the Olympics, the IOC argue that the money they make from sponsorships goes back into the sport that they compete in. That's the argument. And so I like, this is the biggest turnoff for a sponsor to actually support an athlete with potential to go to the Olympics.
Look down the list, Moose, and see the guys that are maybe ranked 8th or 9th or 10th who aren't going to the Olympics and hook them up instead.
Well, I'm not saying that in particular. What I'm saying is, like, let's say let's pick an athlete.
New Balance.
Ali's with New Balance. So New Balance, right, like, obviously this, so July 13. So, like, let's say three newspaper articles come out about Ali in the last few days. Well, someone reads the article, goes on Ali's thing, Ali's Instagram, whatever. She's not allowed to be tagging any of her Olympic shots or anything like that with New Balance at the moment, so she can't actively promote them. They're not allowed to tag.
That's bullshit. How can they tell her what to do on her own Instagram? Is she allowed to talk about it on Road to Nowhere? Because we own that, not the IOC. Come at us.
She signed every athlete signs contracts, right? And the Olympics, I guess they would say, are a privilege, not a right. So New Balance can't thank her, can't congratulate her on their own channels either. So it's very, to me, it's like, this is why athletes don't earn enough money, because their main capacity to promote their brand is taken away from them during the period when athletics is actually in the spotlight once every 4 years.
And we rely so much on the Olympics. Like, it's not like we have golf tournaments or tennis grand slams or NBA season or whatever that gets more of the income.
That's, and a lot of these track athletes, let's say a distance thrower, right? The distance thrower does not get to show up to fun runs or throwing, like, mass participation throwing events. So at least runners can access that kind of promotion and that kind of exposure at road races. But yeah, the throwers, they're like even more specific to the Olympics, same as the jumpers.
So this is why, because I took a photo of this and sent it through to you guys, this is why when Lyndon Hall did that time trial and ran 4 flat, the picture Athletics Australia used, they airbrushed her Nike tick off her uniform.
Look, I'm not sure exactly on
that. Or is that because they're sponsored by Puma and they're like, hey, we don't want to be promoting Nike?
I don't know exactly the reason why that happened, so I can't tell you.
Because you're like, this is Lyndon's opportunity to show how good I am for Nike.
It does seem very stiff that happens. Oh, and
yeah.
I mean, imagine a Nike marketing executive going, what is happening? Like, we pay for this.
Yeah.
We pay this for this opportunity, like, for this athlete to influence others by wearing our kit because we like her, because she's a good role model. But she's wearing a kit that's been airbrushed, her tick out, and she can't ever mention us.
Federation that should be supporting her as one of our absolute superstars who could potentially win a medal. And it's like, oh, what can you do to support me? Just airbrush the Nike tick, my main sponsor, off my logo, off my uniform.
A lot of that cash finds its way back to the athletes, that's for sure.
Sport is broken. Mm. Yeah. How about, I've got, I did some research for this one. Talking about athletes who could be the fittest athletes not at the Olympics. Sweden, right, they've got this real harsh policy that if you hit the qualifying time, they still don't take you unless you're going to potentially be top eight in the event. So they've got three marathoners. These are their PBs, 2:10.03, 2:10.09, 2:11.18. All three of them left home. Can't go. Not going to be top eight. You've ran the 2:11.30. Not going to go. They've also got, they're taking one 2:26 late in the marathon. They had two 2:28 ladies. They left home. A 4:03 1500 meter lady they're not taking. And this was the big one, the Swedish 800 meter record holder, who has the record of 1:58.7, and she's broken 2 minutes three times this season alone. Also left her home because they don't reckon she's going to go top eight. That's absolute bullshit as well. Like, they've hit the time set by the Olympics, IAAF, done everything they need to do, and then their federation say, nah, we're taking the opportunity away from you.
It does nothing to promote the sport in that country.
Imagine the kids sitting
they
up
have
to...
history there, though. They have history, Sweden, for doing that shit.
Yeah.
Remember Mikael... what's his surname?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one of these 2:10 guys, 2:10.09, that's David Nielsen. Remember, he used to come out to Australia with Nick Badeau's group.
Yeah,
yep.
He did.
Same yep, with that's Mikael. Him. Yep, Mikael
I remember Ekel. A campaign. Yep. I remember a campaign for them to get for him to get put on the team.
Yep.
And that didn't pay off. They didn't let him. It was
so cruel to be able to.
Very cruel.
They do everything the federation or do everything that the international federations asked of them, and then this lady in her Instagram post, the 800 meter lady, she's like, "I'm happy to pay my way. What do you need? If it's a financial thing, I can do it." Which Sweden's a pretty rich country.
How do they justify that outside of financial reasons? If someone's willing to pay their way.
Yeah.
How do they justify that?
Well, they'll still take 50 coaches and stuff. Yeah, start a GoFundMe. I'll give you $100.
I'll buy my own uniform. I'll pay my own airfare. I'll pay for the accommodation in the village if that's what you have to provide.
Katrina Bissett, similar PB. It's like us leaving Bissett at home. It's like us leaving Brett, Liam, and Jack at home. And we just said at the start of the show how excited we are that the Olympics are coming up and we get to watch them race because it's going to give us something to get excited about. Like, and then the Swedish people sit back and watch that men's marathon. They don't have a representative and they got three guys at home who hit the time. That's my moose on the
list. It's a bit how, it's sort of how we were though a few years back. Like, we were very harsh with our qualification standards to probably the detriment of the sport in a way. Like, I remember the men's marathon was, at the time was almost unachievable. And so people just went, oh, well, there's no point in me even doing that. And then I think Athletics Australia sort of changed their policy a little bit to try and send as bigger teams as possible. And that's when we saw, people who ran 2:18 going to major championships.
Yeah.
And it almost sort of revived marathon running in the country a little bit, because it's like, oh, okay, so there's a chance of getting an Aussie singlet because I only have to run sub 2:19, not 2:11.
Yeah.
And it's good for the sport.
And then they just brought it down slowly.
Yeah. And now, whereas in what's happening in Sweden, and it's like you could have a really good athlete see what's happening now. And it's like, well, what's the point of me running 1:59 for an 800 when I'm going to be left at home? I'll go into bloody speed skating or something like that, whatever their most popular sport is over there that gets them the most money.
Yeah, I'm with you, Croaks. Anyway, what's coming up, fellas? What are you doing between now and the next week, Moose? What's coming up in your life?
Mate, day to day, are we out of lockdown? Are we in lockdown? At the moment, lockdown is going to be extended from Tuesday evening when it was supposed to end, and it sounds like Wednesday will be at least, and then we'll just see. At the moment, I think they might make an announcement tomorrow, so that means that we remain in Anglesey, stores shut. We're actually open for online business, and fuck, it would be great if anybody needed some shoes, be a nice time to get some. Peruse our website. It's actually, I think I did a pretty good job on the website. You can go through, have a look at it all, send us a message. We're active on socials, answer any questions you need. We're sending things every day. We do click and collect in the store. So we're still operating, but we just can't serve you face to face.
Just looking at the website now, Moose, you designed this yourself.
No, it's a template. I just play around with photos and that kind of thing.
Yeah, looks good. Good job.
What do you reckon?
It looks all right.
You reckon there's one something on there?
Hang on. I've got to hit shop online, Ballarat.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I've got no, I didn't do that. Yeah, get on our actual website.
Yeah, that's good. I got that. You got those ones come up last week, actually. Those spikes, they arrived, which is nice. They looked after my batch training partners there. Yeah, we've had a good week with shoe deliveries the last week, though, actually. I'll buy a pair off you, keep some money in your pocket.
I don't want no sympathy purchases, mate. I've got shit that you need.
What do I need?
Alphas, Vapors.
I've got the OG Alphas. They're pretty good those ones that we got.
Yeah, they are. Invincibles, the black. Invincibles, yeah. You need.
I did get a pair of those originally, actually, Invincibles, but I think I'm due for a new pair. Yeah.
Right. Need some new Dragonflies with all the track running you'll be doing over summer.
Oh, yeah, I tell you what, the old cross-country smashes out the Dragonflies a bit. My spikes are that blunt on those.
That plastic plate, too.
You got Dragonflies, though? Dragonflies are hard to get. You wouldn't have them, would you?
Dragonflies, we're getting a ton early August. They were supposed to come out with this Tokyo product. If you go on the website, you can see the...
How'd you go? You would have sold all that out the other day?
We still got some left, actually.
What about that pinky white one of the next percent?
Yeah, there's still a few left. Because I think Gold Coast getting cancelled hurt. People just, like... Yeah, anyway, we still got stock left, don't worry.
No one's buying this hot pink Nike shorts and singlet combo, are they? You'll be you'll be marking that down, selling it.
You would be so surprised.
Really?
At how many men's pink singlets we sold.
What about the shorts though? The hot pink Nike shorts.
No one has bought a. I actually only got four, for the store, and I was going to take three of them.
Arm sleeves. These will sell good. Archie was asking me where to get them the other day because he reckons they're really hard to find.
They're not. They're in our store, Archie.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the first time we've seen them here, though. Are these new?
Pretty new.
Maybe. This will be... I'll be a salesman here. This is the best $50 you've ever spent buying arm sleeves. They are so good to wear in sessions where it's not too cold for a long sleeve, but then you don't want to wear a singlet, so you wear a T-shirt and arm sleeves. Yeah. And then when it's freezing cold, you wear your long sleeve with the arm sleeve underneath for a long run. Oh, and you feel like Shirley McSwain every run you go on.
It's pretty versatile to pull an arm sleeve down if it gets warm.
Yeah, very. And you just tuck them in your shorts too. If you need to pull them off.
I just wear them as sweatbands.
Oh yeah, you could rope them around your head or anything. Croaks, I reckon you should buy a pair of those. $50,
shouldn't I?
Yeah, get into them. You'd look good, I reckon, your hairstyle with those things. So you're doing that, Moose. I mean, Croaks, what are you doing?
I reckon I might look at a few Olympic multis.
Oh, wow. You've segued that nicely.
Some easy money be made, I reckon, during the Olympics.
Yeah, well, we've got a cool little announcement. RivalBet, which is a betting app company based here in Australia. Because I'm not sure about you boys, but when you have a punt on like the main apps, usually they just have a market, which is like who's going to win the women's marathon. And like Bridget Kosgei's paying $1.50, a couple of Ethiopians, Kenyans are paying like $5. And then they have like Sinead Diver at like $250, Lisa $300, Ali $350 kind of thing. You ever noticed that before? Yeah. And it's going to be big if they're ever going to win. So you're not going to outlay the money. But RivalBet have come on board with the Inside Running podcast so we can create our own markets. And it's not traditional betting with like odds. So for example, there's going to be a market where it's going to say, which Australian female distance runner will finish the highest in the marathon at the Olympics. So you'll only have three options, like Lisa, Sinead, Ali. And there'll be like a buy-in price, so a $5 or $10 or whatever buy-in. So say it's $10. You pay $10 to enter. You select Ali Pashley. The race happens. Say there's 100 people in there. Croaks, 10 times 100, that'd be $1,000, wouldn't it?
Yep.
$1,000 in there. If you've picked Ali and Ali wins, then you share the pot with the people who have picked Ali. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if there's only if there's only 20 people that have picked her, you guys are cashing in big time. So there's going to be like standalone bets like that in there. And then there's also going to be some multi selections, and they want us to each come up with our own multi. Have you boys been thinking about this?
I'm thinking marathoning because like that's where our knowledge is at mainly. I mean, maybe not yours, Brady, but Brad and I, we're better marathoners. We know more about this.
I know about it. I just can't run them.
I've been looking at the 400 hurdles, actually, men's and women's.
Oh, well, that's what Christian Warhol or whatever.
Carsten Warholm.
Yeah.
And Sydney McLaughlin. They're both world record holders.
So, for example.
You know, someone sent me that double already. Matty Gunther sent that and said, this is the easiest money you'll ever make.
Well, it's, 133 for Carsten and 150 for McLaughlin. So you put that into a multi with something else. Like, it's not bad odds.
Hey, guys, that's Rival Bet don't do it like that, though. They don't put the odds together. So
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. If you want to make quick money doing that. Yeah, we wouldn't. Well, we get
and shit Brad. That is shit promo.
And we are gambling responsibly through this whole conversation here, Croaks. That's why we're just doing these little, like, these are kind of like betting against each other. So, Croaks, you could say you're going to take the two 400-meter people you reckon. If you agree with Croaks, it could be a $10 buy-in and you're on Team Croaks. But if you disagree, you can pay the $10 and hit the no side of things. And then if one of them gets rolled.
And then I'll just take your money. It's easy, yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You're expecting both of them to get up. I'd bet against that, I reckon. I think things can happen. And that American 400-meter hurdler, we're not...
A lot of heats, semis, final. Yeah. You got some heat. You got one person spraining their ankle. False start, boom, gone.
And there's hurdles to hit as well. Imagine them hitting the hurdles.
False start, you're all over. One little nervous twitch. Done. See you later.
Well, I come up with this one, Moose. Tell me if you'd take me on this one or not. So it's going to be a four-leg multi here, right? So I'm saying one Australian will finish top five in the men's 1500. One women will finish top 15 in the women's marathon. Two female 1500-meter runners, Hull and Hall, I'm thinking, will make the final. And the last leg of the multi was that Morgan McDonald will be our highest finisher in the men's 5K.
So I don't know. I will.
I'd bet against you on that one.
Bet against you on that one, would you?
Yeah, just because there's a lot of things.
That's what multis are. You've got to put
And so, if it's so complicated, you earn more if you get it right. Is that correct?
So a lot of people might sign up and go, oh, Brady's bet's bullshit. I'm going to put me $10 in to hit no. They all get it. So there's, say, 100 people. There's $1,000 in the pot. It's just me and Archie, the only two in this one. We split $1,000 between us.
A couple of geniuses,
yeah. Do you know what I mean? So that's where it gets a bit risky. So you come up with a bit of a loose multi, and then you want to encourage people to donate the money.
Gotcha.
So there's going to be plenty of options. So we'll have more details next week, because I do think when you gamble responsibly, I think it's actually good for the sport and the way the other betting institutions have just odds for, like, it's going to be rare that any Australian's going to win a gold medal in the distance events that we're talking about. So this is a way that you can have a punt, still be involved. It's not going to be like ridiculous money to buy in. But in the meantime, if you download the Rival Bet app, that would probably be a good start. And then we'll have all the markets and stuff ready next week and our multis that you can go against us in. And we'll go from there. Should be fun, fellas.
I like it.
Yeah, it's going to, I reckon I'll come away with a few dollars here, I reckon. And we're done then. So we'll see you guys next week. We'll put 20 minutes of Road to Nowhere there. And, nothing more we need to say, is there?
No, I reckon you got it.
Have a good week.
Same to you, fellas. See you next week.
See you later.
See ya.
Thanks to ASICS for supporting this week's episode of the Inside Running Podcast. Refresh your run with the advanced stability and plush comfort of the new ASICS Gel Kiano 28. Experience the evolution of a legend with shock-absorbent gel technology, a responsive FF Blast midsole foam, and a redesigned heel fit that protects your stride and clears your mind. Visit asics.com.au to grab your pair.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 23 of The Road to Nowhere, season 2. I'm Nick Earl, and all I've got to say is that it's not coming home.
Oh, sorry, Nick.
Got up for nothing. Anyway, welcome to my co-host.
Going off at the TV.
I was really into it at the time. I was around my mate's house with like a couple of Germans, a couple of French guys, and they were just so anti-England. It was actually hilarious. So yeah, they were getting in at me when Saka missed that penalty. I was like, oh. But once, by the time I got home, it already sunk in. I was like, ah, we lost. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect my life at all.
It does matter, and it does affect your life.
It doesn't.
England sunk. Just
well, got to the final. So what have Australia ever done in the Euros? You know? You're already in Eurovision, actually. We've done pretty well. Didn't lose any games.
The Oceanias.
Anyway, welcome to my co-host, Australia's most impressive up-and-coming dog walker, Joel Tobin-White. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good. A little bit annoyed, actually. I've opened, I opened a bottle of wine, had a sip, and thought, geez, that tastes awful. I'm not drinking that. And I said, that's a waste. And then I opened up another one and tried it, and a wine that I do love. And I thought, fuck, that tastes awful. What's going on? And I was trying to think, I'm like, what's happened? And I realized I ate a big bowl of pineapple before, and I've just searched, and pineapple contains bromelain, which tenderizes your tongue and taste buds, making everything taste weird afterwards.
Isn't that an interesting fact?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought I'm going to come with some Joel's facts, seeing as I'm not going to produce anything interesting about running. So
that's good.
Good to know. I wonder if that's ever affected us and we didn't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So you've just wasted about, well, I guess you could just have
two. Well, tomorrow I'm going to try it, and I might be like, "Ooh, that's really nice, actually."
But I thought. Well, you're not going to enjoy your
wine.
What was
the wine?
One was a Spanish one, so I get in trouble if I say that I didn't like that.
Yeah. Racist, you are.
Yeah, exactly. And now a Pinot from Victoria. So yeah, it's nice.
Oh, which one?
Belvale Pinot from Gippsland.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, let's welcome this. This is boring.
I want to get some wine tips from you, Joel. You're always drinking it, but you're never telling us which ones you're drinking.
Yeah, we'll talk off air. You know,
just the good ones. Just the good ones. You don't have to ask every bottle of wine he drinks. Oh, what's that one? What's that one? Just tell us your favourites. What's your favourite bottle of wine? Go on.
Geez, I don't know. Too many.
Well, there's
too many. Come on.
All right. Welcome to star of the show, Ellen Pashley. How long until race day?
It is now about 3.5 weeks.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Well, this is peak training time, right? Like this week?
Yeah. This is like my last big week. And then because we usually do a 3-week taper, so I'll actually start backing off next week. Which is pretty weird. I almost don't. 3-week taper.
Wow.
Yeah. The first week will still be decent, but the mileage will drop a bit.
I'm only halfway through.
And my long
my
run's
block,
not as big.
I've been three weeks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like two weeks before I get injured.
All right. That's come around so quick.
I know.
Not every week, but 3 weeks. Are you serious?
It's funny. The Olympics, it's been the longest build into the Olympics ever, but this actual marathon block has gone ridiculously fast. Too fast. Normally by this stage, I am hanging out to taper, and I'm at the moment I'm almost not ready. I feel like I need a couple more weeks.
Yeah, right.
Just train through it. This is basically
just keep going.
Yeah. There's more important stuff at the end of the year.
Some park runs.
Melbourne Marathon, October.
All right, let's go into your week, actually, Ellie. So sessions. What did you get up to?
Sessions. Yeah. So last week I did 2 workouts.
Because you were coming off a down week, weren't you?
Yeah, I'd had a lighter week for Gold Coast, and then we kept it lighter anyway, even though that got cancelled.
Yep.
And then so on, I think it was Wednesday. Thursday. I did my first one, which was a long run. It was 37K, 25K easy first, and then to 5 by 1K at 320, 1K at 340. So the idea was, this one actually wasn't supposed to be too hard. It was long, but the actual workout was only 10K in volume. So it was sort of just going a bit faster than marathon pace and then a bit slower than marathon pace for the floats. So that was, yeah, this was a weird one. I actually, so I had a sore foot last week, early in the week, and I was a bit stressed. I had it was under like my metatarsal heads, but on my left foot, not my right one, which was the one that usually causes trouble. So I straight away went into like, oh, I've got a stress fracture mindset. Yeah. Just, you know, I think, you know, when you're that close to a race and everything feels like a stress fracture. So I was actually pretty stressed.
When you start thinking it's a stress, when you start thinking it's a stress fracture, it's not a stress fracture. Your problem's when you think it's not a stress fracture. It ends up being a stress fracture.
When you're sure it isn't.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way it's a stress fracture.
That's a good theory, Joel. Another one of Joel's theories to add to the list. If you think it's one, don't get a scan, guys, because it's not.
No point. So yeah, you're down from Noosa, right?
Yeah, so I flew home on Monday, and then so Monday was actually when my foot got sore, which also didn't make sense for a stress fracture because I actually had a rest day on Sunday. I ran once on Monday, and then it was sore that night. I think it was from walking around barefoot, to be honest, carrying suitcases. I've got very sensitive feet, and I always wear shoes because they get sore and swollen. So that was
bare feet.
Yeah, because we're in this house that was really nice, and I didn't want to wear shoes inside. So I didn't for a couple of days in a row. And then I reckon when we were moving out, I was carrying all the suitcases up and down the stairs with no shoes on. And I actually think it was that, which is sounds ridiculous when you run like 100 and whatever Ks a week. But we're so fragile. Isn't it funny like how we automatically blame things like that too?
like blaming driving a car for a stress fracture? Yeah.
I mean, was Joe Sammy, what the hell was he doing?
Yeah, Joe's was there. I don't know what he was doing.
He was surfing. Ellie, you got these bags? I'm just going to go get in the
We're going soon. I'm going to go and do this now.
Can you take my surfboard up to the top?
Can you take my heaviest suitcase up the stairs?
Anyway, so I'd had a few days of like, I took anti-inflams. My foot actually felt okay running. It was more sore walking around. And by Thursday, I was pretty sure that it was fine, but I think I was just a bit stressed about this session because it was so big. And I was like, am I doing the wrong thing by doing this when I've been sore? Blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I decided I'd start running, and if it felt okay, I would do it. Otherwise,
so sorry, that's on the Wednesday, stop. Was it?
This session was Thursday, yeah. So it was sore Monday, Tuesday, and then it was pretty good Wednesday. So I was still running on these other days, but I was just running on the trails once I got home, where it's a bit softer. And anyway, on this run, I ran the warm up with Jared and Lainey, two of my friends. And that was actually good because I was completely distracted and not thinking about it. And it was fine. So I don't have a stress fracture.
Mm.
Yep.
Well, you don't think you do. So now you probably do.
That's true. I've got to be careful with that mindset.
It's fractured.
So 37 Ks, 10 K with, I think I hit like around 320, maybe sort of 318 to 20 for the, there was a 316 in there as well for the ons. And then my floats were like,
that was my threshold when I started running, I reckon.
320.
318, 320, yeah. When I went from triathlon to running, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's probably.
Sorry about just trying
my,
to make.
Faster than my threshold now.
Trying to stay relevant, Joel.
Yeah, exactly. I'm clinging on to every
I'm
last.
Still better bit. Than you, even though I've got a stress fracture.
I love that. Such a weird flex. It's like, that was once my threshold.
It wasn't a flex. It was more just like, please, attention, please. I'll do anything for it. Please. I'm dying over here.
Oh, we'll give you a bit of attention, Joel. That was a good threshold for when you just started running.
All right, too much. Back to you, Ali.
Then you came down to Hobart and like ran 29:30 or something on them.
That was a year. That was another year later.
Oh, was that a year later? All right.
15 months or something, yeah.
Well, still, yeah, all right. Anyway, so Ellie, how did that go, the session?
Yeah, it was good. Like I felt really cold. I struggled with the cold when I got home, and I felt I wasn't amped up for this session. Normally I get quite amped for sessions mentally, and for this one I wasn't, because I was worrying about my foot. So I felt a little bit flat the whole way through, and I sort of felt like, you know, the pace didn't feel uncomfortable, but I almost didn't feel like I had much more to give. I wasn't really into it, if that makes sense, but it was fine. Like, I got through it. It was one of those ones I sort of just ticked off, and it was a good mileage day.
That's
and
probably
it
a
wasn't
good
anything special.
That's probably a good way to approach a session, like at this stage. Like, just tick the box instead of trying to smash it out of the park. So you've probably done yourself a bit of a favor there, actually. Like, because you've probably gone a bit easier, and probably easier mentally as well, instead of just absolutely trying to smash it. So
yeah,
that's pretty beneficial, I reckon.
And you're probably right. This is the state. This is the time of the marathon block where you do try to hit them out of the park, and that's probably.
And this is when you're heavy, is
dangerous.
Well. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so that was that. And then on Sunday I did 20 by 400. So all the Surf Coast Track Club group came and ran from the track in Geelong, which was really nice because it's not a very nice place to do a long run from, but that was nice of them to do that. So I just warmed up with them, and then I had Jules on the bike on the track while I was doing my 400.
So they all drove there just to warm up with you? Was that like a goodbye?
Yeah.
For Olympics?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Jules just said in our long run group, hey,
like,
everyone,
I don't know.
Come
here. There's all these peasants sort of hanging by my car.
Ellie's begging, like, yeah, begging. Creepy, actually.
No, I was saying to, like, I said to Jules, don't make them do a long run from there. That's so shit. And he's like, nah, that'll be good. Because it was my last run in down the coast before I left.
Hey, it's Geelong, right? It's just the Barwon.
Yeah.
On the Barwon, right? Or is it?
This is at Deakin Track. So Deakin Track's at the uni in Warren Ponds, which is kind of like the southwest corner of Geelong. So almost on the way to Torquay and Anglesey.
Yeah. So I think it's 500 metres from the northwest corner.
So hang on. So so it's crap to run around there, basically, and you force them all to do a long run.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically selfish.
Well, yeah, a little. But anyway, how'd your session go?
Anyway, I'm surprised they haven't teased me about it, but they didn't. They just went with it. So my session was, this one wasn't that good either. So I was freezing, and I had tights and a long sleeve top off, and I took my tights off for the session, and then halfway through the session I had to put them back on because I was so cold. So this was 20 by 400, and Jules had said on the program in 70 seconds, which, yeah, that 70 seconds is really hard for me anyway, let alone in marathon training and off, 45 seconds rest, and just like 20 of them as well. I just, yeah. So he sort of said
255 pace?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
255 and 70s, yeah.
So we pretty much changed it to sort of between 70 and 72, which they were there. I don't think I had any 70s, maybe one or two, and then they were all like 72 pretty much.
And you were solo, right, for that?
Jules was riding on the bike beside me.
Okay.
And then all the 50 people that came were doing their long run cheering on the inside of it.
Yeah. Reverse. They ran reverse laps of the track and cheered. Yeah. Nah, they didn't do that.
Oh,
I can't believe they didn't. I thought they would have.
Look, think of that 30K long run.
How dare they?
Yeah, they just went off and left me.
So 2400s then. 2400s,
yeah. And he was umming and ahhing about making it 30 seconds rest. Thank God he didn't, because I struggled. Like, my breathing was really heavy, and I just felt like I couldn't run any faster than that. And I think it was partly cold, partly marathon legs, and partly I'm just not very fast or good at 400s anyway.
So you've become so acclimatized to like the tropics and like the warm that you go home, you're freezing. I mean,
yeah, I've never do sessions in tights ever, and I was
You're like that pain in the ass person that comes back from Europe and they're like hanging out having coffee and they're like, oh, it's so cold. It's like, you, all right, you're in Spain for 2 weeks. Shut up. Okay. You've been in 15 degree Melbourne weather for 25 years and you've gone on a little summer holiday. All right. Get over yourself.
That is exactly me.
It's funny how you kind of forget about that and like you feel responsible if someone's come to where you are, you kind of feel a bit responsible for the weather. Do you get that? Like,
No, that's not a thing.
But if someone goes, Jesus Christ, it's cold. I'm like, no, but it wasn't this cold yesterday. You know, you try and make excuses and stuff. Like, yeah.
Maybe if you're a postdoc in climate science, but
no one was really doing that in Geelong. They were probably all just like, shut up, it's always like this.
Yeah. And you would have been so over the top in like, you know, 9 layers of fleece and rugged up, you know, and they're all sitting with sunglasses. You're like, can I have a hot chocolate with an extra marshmallow? It's like 19 degrees.
Pretty much. I was actually being very dramatic now that I think about it.
Well, I know.
Everyone.
I know you, and I know. And you know how I know? Because I'm like that too. So I can spot you from a mile away. You're one of me.
Even like halfway through the session, I have to put my tarts back on. I'm freezing.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
Hang on. So when's the last time you did a session down in like Geelong? Like
Before I went away. So it would have been in May.
Yeah, okay, so it was a bit warmer then as well, because this is basically the coldest, climatologically, this is like the coldest time of year, because there's always a bit of a lag after the solstice. So, like, yeah, this is about as cold as it gets, like, in...
Sorry.
Oh, my God, John, I had to do that. Learned something. But, yeah, so it's all up from here, and especially when you've been in, like, Cairns and all that shit. Yeah, that's hardly surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it less beneficial, do you think, to do that in the cold? Like, why didn't you, like, you know, surely wrapping up would have been, like, I don't know. Would that have been better, or is it just so cold that it doesn't really matter?
I think surely all that heat training benefit is definitely in you. It's not like, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
It's not like the body resets. You do one cold run, it's like, oh, so it's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, my body's not good. My core temperature is not increasing when I run. Which is the idea with the heat adaptation stuff. So it's working.
Yeah,
but
right.
It worked a bit too well for when I then went home and I was absolutely freezing the whole time.
Yeah, that's okay though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. And now I'm back in the heat. So that's
so
good.
You've gone back up
Sorry,
to
Victorians.
Cairns?
Yeah, I'm in Cairns now. I came up yesterday.
You probably still like you've done that, but you're like, oh, it's so hot up here. I've just spent the last couple of days by the beach. Do you know how cold it is there? Oh,
it's so crisp and beautiful down there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The wind in my hair. Oh, it's so muggy up here. How do you guys train? Ali, you were here for 8 weeks.
You're really describing everything I do. I need to really think about what I say from now.
That's why when I'm not running, I've got so much time. I've got like all these notes on both of you for me to just pick away at.
So anyway, that was two sessions, 160 odd K, I think. And yeah.
That's good.
That's so solid. So what about the COVID stuff? Like, what was travel like? Is it all good? Like going from Victoria to Queensland at the moment?
Yeah. So I went from Queensland to Victoria and I had to get a test and isolate until I got my test results. And then, but that only took like less than a day. And then coming back the other way, it was fine. But then apparently did someone go through Victoria today? With COVID.
Yesterday.
So I might have got out just in time.
Did you see that listener question?
Oh, no.
The listener question was, is it a coincidence that Joel was moving house and now a removalist brought COVID back into Victoria? Oh, I saw that.
That is clever.
That is
clever. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So that's the odd girl who rides. Okay. There you go.
Sorry, I didn't credit.
I can't see that.
Yeah,
one.
You need to give credit. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Got to give credit for that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one. Right. So there was no dramas at all. What about New South Wales becoming a red zone? Will that affect you at all? Or maybe that was
No, because I haven't been in New South Wales.